This broadcast is coming to you from the Metropolitan Tabernacle of the First Baptist Church of Algiers, 501 Opelousas Avenue, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. And we're glad to greet you again at this time. We praise the Lord for the past hour, and may we look to Him for this next hour. And this is Pastor Gayo inviting you now to stay tuned with us for this 11 o'clock worship hour. We thank Thee, our Father, for grace that You've given us in these times, for mercy and for Thy long-suffering and patience with us. We are nothing, but Thou art all and in all. We must decrease, but Thou must increase. And our dear Heavenly Father, we praise Thy name for the humbling work of the Holy Spirit that exalts Christ in our hearts and in our lives, that we're able to magnify Him and exalt Him to others. And we thank Thee for the great grace of our God that rests upon us. Lead us and keep us in this hour. Bless the broadcast that's gone out in the morning hours, and this one, and all those that will follow through the week. And we'll give Thee all the praise and honor and glory. For Christ's sake we ask it. Amen. Now we're glad to greet you again at this time in the name of our precious Lord. Now let us turn in our hymnals to 188 and sing Only Trust Him. Only Trust Him. Everybody sing. It's a gracious number. About that number yesterday and this morning. Only trust Him. If sinners would only trust the Lord, they'll get saved. Now let's turn again in our hymnals to 379 and sing Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing it. Everybody stand. And let's sing it out as it goes out over the radio. On the tapes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. 379. As you look to him, the things of this earth, they'll grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that's true. Let's sing that last one now. Everybody on the last, come on and sing it. Yes. And that's true. As you look into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great lover, everything else would pale into insignificance. As the wife looks into the face of her husband, and the husband looks into the face of his wife, they lose sight of everybody else where there's true love. And so it is when the sinner looks into the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, look full. I praise the Lord for Christ this morning, who is my life, my hope, my joy. And I hope he's yours. Our Lord is gracious unto us. It won't be long before we'll be through with the painting of the ceiling. About one more move up forward, and we'll have it. It's a big job, tiresome, but the men are coming right along with it. I praise the Lord for it. Now this morning I want to speak to you from the third chapter of John. You have your Bibles turned with us to the third chapter of the Gospel of John. It's a familiar chapter, verses of scriptures here that we're all familiar with. Of course, many times it takes us longer, some to learn it much longer than others. And that's the reason why we have to go over and over again, preach the word, lay line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there until sinners are made to hear. So hear the word of God this morning and live. We find here the story of Nicodemus. I wonder how many of us are familiar with the story of Nicodemus this morning. I wonder how many of us read the story, the third chapter, John, and you familiarize yourself with it over and over again. Let's read it from the first verse, the third chapter of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, which means master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. You know, Jesus listened to him patiently. And then, just as quickly he got through addressing the Lord, Jesus came back with these solemn words. And may they be solemn to your heart this morning. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, unto thee, which means unto you, I'm addressing this message unto your heart. Now, what is he addressing? What is he telling? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that's a strange language to people who are not awakened, who do not know God's salvation. It's a strange language. It may be strange to your heart this morning, and that can be expected. It was strange to mine when I first heard it. What it means to be born again. Well, I was born, the natural birth. Now here's something else here that I didn't know anything about. That I've got to be born again. I've got to be born all over again. And so let's go on now and see what the Lord meant when he by that statement there. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now that's God's word now. Let's remember that. These are not man's word. The Bible is the written word of God. And you must accept that as it is this morning. And look at it. And believe it. May God grant you grace to believe it. That's the only way you're going to believe it. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Now he was a master, a ruler of Israel, a Pharisee of the Pharisee, you might say, a religionist, well-educated, schools of learning. He knew everything. He knew the law. As far as he was concerned, he kept it. He might have. It doesn't say definitely there, but he was a Pharisee. And like the Apostle Paul, he said, I didn't know sin until the law came. He says, I've kept the law, except when the commandments came, I saw one thing I didn't keep. But the individual, no matter how religious he is, how much religion he might have, this can be addressed in the same purpose as our Lord addressed to Nicodemus. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except you be born again. Except you be born again. Now listen, can he enter? Now Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And you must realize that's your natural birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It is imperative. Ye must be born again. You'll never see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound of it, but canst not tell from where it cometh and where it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Then Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master or a teacher of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we do know, and testify to that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And so it goes on and on the remainder of that chapter. But there's one scripture this morning I'm taking my text from, is that third verse. Listen to it again. Jesus answered and said unto him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Have you been born again by the Spirit of God? Do you know what I'm talking about? Now, we call that regeneration. When an individual is made a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that must take place before you ever have any hopes of heaven, of ever going there. Lots of people want to go to heaven, but they want to go there without the conditions that are laid down in the Word of God. It is imperative. You and I must be born again, born of the Spirit of God. Not born as Nicodemus was thinking here, should I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? No, that's still flesh. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit, else you can never enter into the kingdom of God. No part of it. Regeneration is of absolute and vital importance in being able to see the kingdom of God, to be regenerated. It is the very groundwork of our hopes for heaven. Now you listen this morning, will you? I'll not raise my voice. No need for me to raise my voice. I'll just declare unto you the Word of God and trust the Holy Spirit to apply it to your heart. Let me ask you one question this morning. Have you been born again? Do you know Christ? Have you been born of the Spirit of God? Have you ever repented before God as a lost, guilty sinner? Regeneration, being born again, is the very groundwork of our hopes for heaven. Without that, you'll never get to heaven. You'll never know the glories of heaven. And if you ever got there, you never would enjoy heaven. You would be out of place in heaven unless you knew, if you knew what it meant to be regenerated by the Spirit of God and have a new creation. And you are a new creation in Christ. There are many who confess they are born again, but who are not. It behooves us to examine ourselves this morning to see if we are in the faith. And may the Spirit of God search the heart and try the reins of everyone present here this morning. I'm asking you, are you born again? Do you know Christ? You say, I'm saved. All right, have you been born again? Have you been regenerated by the Spirit of God? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, it may read, I, the Amen say it. This is God, the great I Am, is saying that to our hearts this morning. The great I Am, the great God, the Almighty God, the all-sufficient God. I, the faithful and true witness. And God is witnessing with His Word this morning to our hearts. May you might have heard statements like that, but it is so. You may have not heard someone who is so dogmatic to believe the Word of God, to believe that this Word was written in heaven, and that is the handiwork of God. And the great I Am is saying, I, the Amen, He that is from the beginning, the ending, I am declaring this word. I am heralding it to your heart and to my heart. I am asking you this imperative question. Have you been born again? An expression that symbolized a strong affirmation, denoting the certainty and the importance of what our Lord was about to say. And that's why it's so imperative that you must be born again to get to heaven. You must know Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to go to heaven. It doesn't matter how much religion you might have, or how much you might have gone to church, or how much you prayed. The important question is, do you know Christ, the gateway to heaven? Do you know Him? No matter how faithful you've been in your attendance, in your giving, but do you know Christ? You may have said, well, I attend the seminary. I'm not asking you that. Do you know Christ? You might say, well, I have a PhD, but that's all right, that's fine. But do you know Christ? It's a strong affirmation, and it denotes the certainty and the importance of what our Lord was about to say. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is an expression designed to include all of mankind, every one of us. That's all of mankind. Whether you're a little child down there, you're able to understand, or whether you're a grown man, 90 years of age, the message for you, have you been born again? Men of every character and every rank, every nation, whether you're moral or whether you're immoral, whether you're rich, or whether you're poor, whether you're old, or whether you're young, whether you're a Jew, or whether you're a Gentile. Both Jews and Gentiles are all under sin, as Romans 3:9 tells us. All must be born again. Repentance is to all. There is none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3:10. There is none righteous. No, not one. Not one individual born of, from the loins of Adam are righteous before God. Everyone's a sinner. Every individual's a sinner. Listen. All must have a great change wrought in the soul by the Holy Spirit if they are to see the kingdom of God. And that's what it means. You've got to be regenerated by God's Holy Spirit. You've got to know what it means to be born again. You've got to have a second birthday. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever taken your place as a lost sinner before God? A condemned criminal, guilty? And you know the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit that transformed you from a child of Satan unto a child of the living God? And you know when that took place? You know when it happened? I got to think about that poor blind man last night and during the night, thinking about how that man was able to say, "I know I was blind, but now I see." See? "I know I was once a sinner condemned on the judgment of God, but I know what it means to be delivered by the power of God's Holy Spirit in the resurrected power of my Lord, and know what it means to be born again, made a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ." You can go and have your religion, your soft soap religion, that doesn't touch anything. But every individual who ever gets saved, they have to have a change that's wrought in the soul by the Holy Spirit if they are to see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again. Let me try to illustrate the difference here between changes and reforms that men make in themselves and the true work of God's Holy Spirit in the new creation. Now you listen. Just because an individual calls himself a Christian, it does not necessarily mean that he has the nature of a Christian. I've run into many of them. They're Christians, but they hate the gospel that I preach. They hate the Christ that I adore. They will not sit long in my company and let us talk about Christ. They have a religious nature, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they are born of God, that they are a new creation in Christ, just because you have religion. The whole world's got some kind of a religion, but the whole world is not born again. Now you listen. Just because you are born into a Christian home, that's no indication that you are born again from above. That's right. How many of you have adopted Christian manners? You have performed many religious duties. You attend church. You are careful in having some form of religion because you believe that religion, a person has religion, he'll get to heaven. You have religion observed in your own home. Your children, they hear the word of God. And I must say here that this is highly commendable. I praise the Lord for that. The Bible tells us to bring up a child in the way it ought to go, and when he's old, he shall not depart from it. How many of us received the admonition and took heed to it? Bring up a child in the way it should go. He'll not depart from it. That doesn't mean he won't sin. That doesn't mean he won't stray. That doesn't mean he won't become rebellious. He'll not depart from the truth that he's heard. It'll stay with him. Like I had someone tell me some time ago about their son. He knew that he knows the truth. He was raised under the truth. And that's the reason why he will not believe this and that, although he's in the world, although he's lost. but there's truth he's heard here for years that he's never gotten away from. Instructions under his parents. So all of this is highly commendable. I would that every one of us would see the need for this performance in all of our homes. And this is all very good. But remember, all of this is of no avail if you haven't been born again. You can develop a religious nature if you're not careful. It is a part of the work of the Holy Spirit. Now listen. Unless you are born again, that which is of the flesh is flesh. And there are many people who are doing many religious duties in the flesh today. And they believe that those religious duties they're doing or performing are going to get in heaven. And not having that which is flesh, that is of the flesh is flesh. And not having the Spirit of Christ in you shuts heaven's gates against you because you are not born again. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, listen, if any man be in Christ, that doesn't mean that any man believes Christ or you know about Christ, but any man be in Christ, the Holy Spirit puts you in Christ, then you are born again from above because he came from above. Now listen, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Be born again from above to live a new life. There is a new beginning, the beginning of new things. The new life is not patching up the old life. I may the Holy Spirit drive these thoughts to every one of our hearts. And I want you to hear it. Listen. The old life is not patching up. The new life is not patching up the old life. Or trying to reform it. But the new life begins with a new foundation. And that foundation is the Word of God. Now you listen. The new life. There are many people that don't even care to read their Bibles. There are a lot of people that don't even like it. They don't believe it. But they'll tell you they're saved and going to heaven. Where's their foundation? Where'd they get it from? The foundation that God gives begins from the Word of God. Because you don't receive faith unless you have the foundation to begin with. You don't know faith and you don't know grace. So you must begin in the beginning with the Word of God. You must be taught by the Holy Spirit. Now listen to me. It's just like putting new wines in old bottles. They don't do that. Else the bottle will break. They put new wines in new bottles. This consists, now, let me repeat again. The new life is not patching up the old life or trying to reform it, but begin from the foundation. It has its beginning from the foundation. This consists of the new nature, and from this divine nature flows new principles, new affections. Then let me declare this again from the Word of God. Any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And you'll find that in the second chapter of the first epistle of John. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. He still has the nature of the world. That which is flesh is the flesh. He does not have the nature of God, that divine nature, that spiritual nature, that new birth, that new creation, because all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. He has new principles, new affections, Now, my affections were centered upon the earth at one time, but now they're centered upon glory, heaven, Christ, the Father. I come to know more about them. I'm interested in the Holy Spirit leading me, empowering me, and telling others about the Lord, about the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's new principles that God's infused into our very, in our new nature He's given us. New affection. We have a new purpose in life. We have new aims in life. What's your aim in life? What's your aim in life? Your greatest aim in life? I know we all aim to be good doctors, good teachers. That's fine. But what's your greatest aim in life? And every sinner is confronted with that. Do you want Christ or do you want the world? Do you want a good name, a good reputation? Or are you willing to be identified with a despised few, with a despised Christ, with a rejected Christ? All right, you got new affections, a new purpose, and new aim. We call this the second birth wrought by the Holy Spirit. What grace, what mercy when this takes place in the heart of a sinner. By our first birth, we are corrupt. And as David said in Psalms 53:5, listen to the word of God. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That's every one of us by nature. Shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I didn't come into sin, but in sin my mother conceived me. Also, Psalms 58:3, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. I know I was in the post office the other day, and a little child like that, her mother was trying to get her to come in, and man, she was struggling and fighting and screaming and acting rebellious. And I just happened to look at it. She was pulling one way and the mother was pulling the other way. I said, now, you know, that child there, what a rebellious individual she is. And David said, we go astray as soon as we are born, which means that we rebel as soon as we are born. Go away speaking lies. And then they want to say, what a little angel. Put her in bed at night. Oh, what a little angel. Doesn't she have a face of an angel? Turn her loose during the daytime. Man, you can't, you have to corral her to keep her still, to keep from fighting and becoming rebellious. So you see what sinners we are. We're born from my mother's womb. I'm born in sin. Every one of us. But there's hope for the sinner. Listen. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. We must be born from above, as John 3:27 tells us. All right, look over there, the 27th verse. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above, from heaven. Now look at the 31st verse. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testified, that no man receive his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hands. Now listen to this 36th verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. You might say, well, I believe on the Son. All right, now have you been regenerated? Have you been born again? Do you have that new nature? Are you serving new principles, new affections in your life? He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And how's a dead sinner going to believe? How is a sinner who's dead in trespasses and sins going to believe? Unless there's the quickening work of the Holy Spirit. Unless faith is granted to that individual to believe on the Son of God. And that's the individual that this portion of Scripture is addressed to. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. We must be born from above. They that have been born from above have been born again. Born to a divine and heavenly life. The twice born believer finds his fellowship with the Father and with the Son, and knows that the cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanseth him from all sin. Now you may say, well, I'm a Catholic. I'm going to heaven. Or you may say, I'm a Baptist or a Lutheran or whatever brand you may wear. You may say, I'm this and I'm that. But listen, and you may say, therefore, one day I'll see the kingdom of God because I'm so and so. Now let us look at Nicodemus here. He was a Jew, a Pharisee, a master in Israel. And yet the Lord Jesus intended to convey to him the need that he must experience in his own soul a transformation called the new birth or regeneration. And that's the reason why he came to him. He came to Jesus. He knew he had something that he didn't have. He was lacked something. And so the Lord Jesus spoke to him and told him exactly what he lacked. The new birth is the beginning of a spiritual life. The new birth introduces us to the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Now, you will never know the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel until you have been born again, until you have experienced that new birth in your soul. You'll never know the glories of the gospel. That's the reason why, I mean, many times it'll just drop off you. It just won't even phase you. What is he talking about? The new birth, the glories of Christ, the glorious gospel of Christ. You must have the new nature, the new birth to understand it. You never really begin to live until you are born again. Then life is worth living. And with a real purpose then. And I tell you, since God saved me over 20 years ago now, and he's brought us thus far, and the glories of our Lord, and the hope before us, who would want to go back to those things? I don't want them. I very seldom think about them unless somebody would bring some remarks up. I just forget things. I'm learning to forget many things. There's a longing in my heart after the Lord. Is there a longing in your heart after Christ? Christ, God's substitute for sinners. Christ who died for sinners. Christ who paid the sinner's sin debt. In full. Christ, who opened the way into the arms of the Father. Christ, who bridged the gulf that was so wide, and now He draw from Him all the spring. All my springs are in Him. I would that you knew the Lord. I know many of His do. I know some of His don't. And my heart aches after you, that you might come to know Christ, whom to know is life eternal. The new birth is when God reveals Himself to us as our Father, and we are adopted into His family. And now you get this, before any sinner is saved, he comes to know what a sinner he is by nature. And that's one of the first things the Holy Spirit does when He gets ready to save a sinner. He opens that sinner's heart. And that sinner comes to know and to see himself what he or she is by nature, by practice, and by God's decree. And that was the purpose of the Holy Spirit's comforter, coming, that He will show you things to come. He will convict sinners of their sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He knows God's. This sinner knows God's awful judgment upon sin and the sentence of death that hangs over his head. Now you listen. He stands before God guilty with his mouth shut under condemnation. It is only then when the sinner acknowledges his guilt, his just deserts, that he releases God's hands of all blame for his sinful condition, that God will show mercy because Christ died for the guilty sinner. Listen, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. May that ring in your hearts if you don't know Christ all this day, all this next week. That's my prayer. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is not bound. But except ye be born again, no matter how good a life you live, no matter how moral a life you live, a religious life you live, except you are born again, you'll never see the kingdom of God. Except you be brought to the place of a lost, guilty sinner and confess and acknowledge before God what an awful sinner you are, you'll never know the saving power of the grace of God. We cannot understand the nature of what God's speaking here, such as pertaining to the kingdom of God, unless you're born again. 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Go on, talk about your atheism. Talk about your unbelievingism. Talk about your own God. Laugh at those who preach the gospel. Laugh at those who preach that you must be born again before you see the kingdom of God. But do it to your own damnation. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, and therefore they cannot believe it. No wonder they make fun of the Word of God, of you and I who proclaims it. Praise God, He opened my eyes one day to see my foolishness, to see my ignorance, and then reveal unto me the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The natural man must become a spiritual man before he is capable of receiving and understanding the kingdom of God. Like I mentioned not too long ago, I said, if you were to get to heaven in your natural state, you'd be out of place up there. You wouldn't enjoy heaven. You wouldn't enjoy singing praises all the day long. There's not going to be any night there. You'd be just out of place, the natural man. the natural man who comes into this audience this morning and hears this gospel message, unless the Lord opens their heart, their mind to receive it, this is all something, well, where this gospel come from? I never heard such things. And you feel out of place. You may never come again. But those who know what I'm talking about, who know the new birth, who have been born again, who know Christ or who want to know Christ, whom the Lord has awakened, they gladly stay here. And they receive these things. They understand them as God gives them light. It blesses their hearts. They want to hear it over and over again. And so the natural man cannot receive them, though. I had one lady to tell me one day, well, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe in this and that. I don't believe the Bible is true. I said, and I quoted that scripture to her. I said, yes, the natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. And only an individual who has a spiritual mind, a spiritual nature, can understand the Word of God. And she got mad and angry, turned away from me. But praise God, I can praise God that He opened my understanding in my heart. He let the glorious light of the gospel shine in. And that's been 20 years ago. And He's still doing that. I'm still feasting upon Christ. I'm still drinking from that fountain. I'm still bathing myself in the sunlight of His love. I'm still amazed at the love of God. As I was singing this week, the love of God. The love of God that passeth knowledge. You can have your dried eye religion if you want to. I don't want it. You can have your cold orthodox religion if you want to. I don't want it. I've got a religion that's got life, that's got joy, that's got happiness, that moves me and keeps me and sets a goal before me that one day I'm going to inherit everlasting life. Eternally, forever and ever. You can think what you may about me. You can say all manners of things. I'm not preaching the truth. You can say I haven't been called to preach and that you're not the one to be pastor. You can say all that you want to, but that shows your unbelief. That shows your hardened heart. That shows that you're in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. You are religious. You pray. You give. But you are lost and on the road to hell. I know what I'm talking about. There are those who talk like born-again Christians. You study the lives of great men and you try to pattern your life accordingly. And that's true. There are individuals who try to pattern their lives after our late pastor. Their talk. And how many have done it? And every time they tell it or they try to imitate him, it falls flat. And they're not with us anymore. Many of them. Or they read books about great divines and try to pattern their lives and their talk and their language after them. And they can say great swelling words and phrases to cover up their unsaved religion that they have, their unsaved heart. Brother, I don't have to go around imitating this one. I talk and I preach and I labor and I witness with what God's given me. God's given me a portion. You might talk about some great Christian experience that you had obtained from the testimonies of true Christians and you'll try to pattern your experience after others. And I tell you, it's amazing when I think about how so many individuals got caught in experiences in this assembly, and how the Lord is slowly delivering individuals out of them. And we get mail. I don't want an experience. I want Christ. But so many are trying to pattern their lives after others and their experiences. And we got one man preaching, if you don't come just this way, you're not saved. If you don't come just this way, you're not saved. And this way and that way. And you got to do everything like, you got to come exactly like the way he came, or you're lost. And no wonder he was critical of some great divines. He was condemning everybody to hell because they weren't saved like him. He's finding the going pretty tough. He's not preaching the gospel. And I believe many of us know who I'm talking about too. Now we have to leave you in radio line. The rest of this will be on tape, just a couple of minutes. And we'll see you next Sunday, the Lord willing, at the Voice of Truth, 7 till 8. The Bible School, the air at 10, and then the 11 o'clock worship. Be with us. Pray for us. And let us hear from you. God bless you. Goodbye. In closing, just two last statements I want to bring to you. Again, let me repeat. You might talk about some great Christian experience that you had obtained from the testimonies of true Christians. You are a member of a church. You might say, I've been baptized. You even take the Lord's Supper. You might be a deacon or an elder. You are a religious professor, which shows that you are religiously lost. You are everything that Christians should be, except you are without a Christian heart, a Christian nature. And how many? You don't know who they are, but they're here and they're everywhere. To cover up an unsaved heart, to pattern their life and their experience and their sayings after others. Brother, when you ever get to Christ, if you ever are saved, you won't need to have to pattern your conversation, your testimony after anybody else. God will give you one. And it will be effectual. There'll be a pathos in there that the individual will never get away from. I haven't tried to do anything of that sort since I've been in the ministry, but just preach and labor in the energy and the power of God's Holy Spirit with the testimony he's given me. And I praise him for that. And if you're saved, you're doing the same thing. But the individual is always trying to patch up, to keep covered, to keep on the good side of the church, or try to get others to follow them. That's something that's awful and something we got to put up with. And I guess we might say, in times they become our adversary, when the gospel begins to cut and to dig, and you'll see them scatter it. But the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is no hit and miss proposition. And the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only gospel that will make a new creation in Christ. Redemption in Christ. Salvation in Christ. I'm exalting him and magnifying him to every individual who'll hear. And they can never be able, they'll never be able to say, I did not hear the gospel. Anytime you come here, you'll hear the gospel. And if you never turn to Christ at the great judgment, you'll be without excuse. Like someone up in the university, in Baylor University, I believe, some students, Texas, they got a hold of some of our pastor's booklets. And they were in a room, in one of the rooms over there, where they lodge, a group of young preachers. And when I read that message, the pastor, he got so angry. He took it, tore it up, and threw it in the wastebasket. And one of his friends said, "It's too late. It's already gotten you. You're already without excuse." Now, everyone in this tabernacle this morning is without excuse. Now, what are you going to do with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? You've heard the gospel. You've heard the message. Turn to the Lord. Turn to Him. Or else we'll have to face the great white throne judgment. The Lord will have to tell you, "That man pled with your heart, my servant. He's begged you to turn to Christ. He's proclaimed my message. But you resisted it. You turned it down. Because you rather have worldly applause. You rather have worldly friends. Worldly reputation. You rather have your lust. Your good times. Instead of me. And so, you lose me. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I don't know you." And that, wouldn't that be a sad day? Do you know the Lord? Do you want to know Christ? May God help you and lead you and turn unto Him. You can know Him. Christ died for sinners. Are you a sinner? May God open your heart and show you what a sinner you are and lead you to Christ. You might know Him. Except a man be born again, he can never see the kingdom of God. He'll never see the King. One day, I'm going to see the King in all of His glory. All of His majesty. I'm glad you came this morning. I'm hoping to continue this next Sunday. Come back and be with us. Or hear us. Pray for us. Be back with us tonight. Let's stand. Our Father this morning, thank Thee for Thy ever-present with us. Thank Thee for Thy grace. Thank Thee for Thy love and long-suffering and patience with us. Our Father, we thank Thee for Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray for sinners this morning that the Holy Spirit will turn their hearts, open their hearts, our Lord. They may come to have that new nature, come to know the new birth as it is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray for Thy people, strengthen them with might. Our Father, be ever so gracious unto us as we walk together here in this unity, as we proclaim the gospel. Our Father, we need Thy presence with us. We need Thy grace moment by moment, day by day. Help us and lead us to be true to the Word of God, true to the hearts of sinners. For Christ's sake, we ask it in His name. Amen.